The streaming of this service is covered by a copyright license from CCLI, number 14636. Welcome to worship at North Baldwin Uniting Church on Sunday, the 10th of August, 2025, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Call to worship from Psalm 50, verses 1 to 2. The heavens declare the righteousness of God.
The earth declares God's beauty.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
God's word shines forth in glory.
Let us worship God.
This land is God's land for which the Wurundjeri people have cared since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. You will see that we have a lovely blue flower on the altar that is for the latest great-grandchild of Ruth, whose name is Max. He's a little boy. His big sister Ellie, who is three, is delighted to be a big sister. So. Our first hymn today is together in song 156, Morning Has Broken. Please be seated. Let us bring our prayers to God. Let us pray. God of promise, creator of the cosmos, the heavens declare your righteousness and justice, and your word shines forth in glory. It is your good pleasure to welcome us into your community. Help us to stay alert as we wait for your coming, so that when our time comes, you will find us clothed in love, dressed for action, and eager to receive you. Holy God, you call us to do good and care for those in need. Yet too often we place our own comforts above compassion for others. Holy God, you have told us that our worship is meaningless without justice. Yet too often we do not connect the words we say here with the deeds we do when we leave. Holy God, you have told us to store up treasure in heaven. Yet too often we store up treasure here on earth, refusing to share what we have because of our fear of the future. Forgive us, we pray, and cleanse us from these and all our offences, through Jesus Christ, the human one. Amen. God is merciful and kind. Though our sins are like scarlet, they become like snow. Be Be at peace, for our sins are washed clean by the goodness of God, and we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now we listen for God's word.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 1 and 10 to 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour.
The picture book I'm going to read you today is called Thank You, and it's by Jarvis. I thank the moon for the nighttime. I thank the sun for the day. I thank my boots for knowing the way. I thank the tree for the shade. I thank my hat for stopping my thoughts from floating up, up and away. I thank the clouds for the puddles. I'd thank the geese, but I'm too afraid. I thank the yellow and blue for green and green for letting us go. I thank this plant for the hiding place, but shh, don't tell anyone I said so. I thank the toothbrush for my smile. I thank the bath for the bubbles. And I had a reason to thank elephants, but I seem to have forgotten. So I'll thank the Tyrannosaurus for being the longest word I know. I thank the bowl for the jelly. Thank you too, little spoon. I'd also like to thank my belly for making just a little more room. I thank the itch for the scratch. I thank Mr. Jeffers for the purrs. I thank my bicycle for being so fast. I thank my sister for going first. I thank myself for being me. Thank me very much, I say. And when I run out of things to say thanks to, I thank everything all over again. The next hymn is, I think, a new one, together in song 663, Isaiah the prophet has written of old. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've mentioned before that part of my heritage is Jewish, that when I recently took a genetic test, I found that I am made up of Scottish, English, and Ashkenazi genes. What I don't think that I've said before is that as a Christian, I am committed to imitating the Judaism that is one branch of my multi-faith family tree. In about 1935, my great-grandfather, Ernest Jones, wrote of his religion, "There is only one true Jewishness which would have been approved by the prophets of old. You may observe 100 ceremonies, and yet, in the prophet's sense, you may show no Jewishness. For them, there was only one true Jewishness, a righteous and holy life, a love of God which forbids every shady impulse and impels to all honourable and loving deeds. That was, and that still is, the true Jewishness. Other sorts are cheap and spurious." So I wonder if Ernest had been reading the prophecies of Isaiah when he wrote that. As you know, biblical scholars agree that the book of Isaiah contains the words of three prophets. Second Isaiah offered comfort and reassurance in the 6th century BCE to those sitting down and weeping by the rivers of Babylon after Jerusalem was conquered, its temple was destroyed, and 2/3 of the people were deported. Third Isaiah offered hope in the 5th century BCE to the people who had returned from that exile in Babylon but had found no new and glorious kingdom in Zion. And today we are hearing from 1st Isaiah, Isaiah of Jerusalem, who prophesied in the 8th century BCE when another empire, the Assyrians, dominated the area. In recent weeks we have heard from Amos and Hosea, earlier prophets who warned that the Assyrians would destroy the northern kingdom of Israel. And now next in chronological order we hear 1st Isaiah's prophecies about the southern kingdom of Judah, whose situation is no less precarious. The first crisis Judah faces during Isaiah's career is the demand by Israel and Syria that Judah join them in an alliance against the Assyrians. When King Ahaz of Judah refuses, Israel and Syria try to overthrow him, and Ahaz then calls on the Assyrians for help to secure his own reign. The alliance between Israel and Syria fails, and both Israel and Judah become vassals of Assyria. Then Israel rebels and is completely overthrown, the situation of which Amos and Hosea warned. The northern kingdom no longer exists. It's now an internal province of Assyria. Judah, the southern kingdom, is still ruled by its own kings of the line of David, but it pays tribute to Assyria. Its next crisis occurs when King Hezekiah of Judah tries to make an alliance with Egypt to regain Judah's independence, and this attempt fails. And finally, at the very end of 1st Isaiah's career, in 701 BCE, Assyria invades Judah, causing widespread destruction and leaving only the city of Jerusalem intact. This is the political and military context within which 1st Isaiah prophesies, and he keeps warning the rulers of Judah that they should rely on the Lord for salvation and not on foreign kingdoms. The very name Isaiah means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. The passage we hear today was probably written late in the 5th century BCE as an introduction to all the prophecies collected under the name Isaiah. It summarizes the messages of all three Isaiahs, and since in our canon the book of Isaiah is the first of the prophetic books, despite being the third in date, it also introduces the messages of all the prophets. This message is clear: to be the people of God It is not enough to worship God. To truly belong to God, the people must also live out their calling in justice and in caring for those most in need. We heard that message when Amos said that the Lord would turn into mourning the feasts of those who bought the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and their songs into lamentation. The Lord does not want to punish the people of God. The prophet Hosea described the anguish Yahweh felt at the prospect of punishing the nation the Lord had taught to walk, lifted to their cheek, and bent down to feed. But sometimes loving parents must chastise children who make the wrong choice. Like those of Amos and Hosea, Isaiah's prophecies show the Lord trying to lead Judah along the right paths. Its rulers, compared by Yahweh to the rulers of Sodom, and its people, compared to the people of Gomorrah, are worshipping the Lord. While the prophet Hosea described the people of Israel turning from Yahweh to Baals, the people of Judah are making sacrifices, bringing offerings, and lighting incense before the Lord. All these practices are voluntary. They're going above and beyond what their faith demands in their worship. But according to Isaiah, their worship is described by the Lord as solemn assemblies with iniquity, and Yahweh says that he cannot endure them. If the people of Judah really want to please the Lord, says Isaiah, rather than bringing the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats, they will wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. These are the demands that Yahweh has made from the time he gave them the lands that became the nation of Israel. This imperative is present throughout the Hebrew scriptures. Do justice, care for the oppressed, defend the widows and orphans, those who are most marginalized, those whom society excludes. This is what it means to be the people of God. The Lord who saves is also the Lord who makes demands. If the people of God live up to their responsibilities, they shall eat the good of the land. If they don't, they shall be devoured by the sword. Yahweh saves, hope is offered, invitation is given, but grace is not cheap. Those who claim to belong to God's people must demonstrate that identity through their way of life. To use the words of my great-grandfather, the one true Jewishness is a righteous and holy life. Imagine how much better the world would be if everyone who staked a claim in the Holy Land demonstrated the righteousness of their claim by ceasing to do evil, learning to do good, seeking justice, rescuing the oppressed, defending the orphan, pleading for the widow. How much safer everyone in the world would be if those making religious claims on the Holy Land read the prophets rather than the genocidal parts of the book of Joshua or Deuteronomy. Both the current American ambassador to Israel and the Republican Speaker of the House are evangelical Christians, and they have both recently visited the Palestinian West Bank, referring to it as Judea and Samaria, and telling the illegal Israeli settlers squatting there that Israel is its rightful owner. I'm certain that Mike Huckabee and Mike Johnson worship just as fervently as did those rulers of Sodom and people of Gomorrah, and I'm equally certain that God is even now saying to them, "When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." I could end it there with a condemnation of the fundamentalist Christians who have convinced themselves that their faith demands unequivocal support of the modern nation of Israel, regardless of what Israel may be doing. But if I did that, if I said, Look at them over there. I wouldn't be following the example of Isaiah. We too claim to be the people of God, which means that we too must demonstrate that identity through the way we seek justice and care for others. Jesus spoke as clearly as the prophets did. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As Australians, we are among the wealthiest people in the world. Do we make donations to those in need only from our surplus, or do we actually give enough that we notice it in our budgets? Are there things that we do without so that we can feed the hungry and clothe the naked? May the God revealed in the words of Isaiah and the life of Jesus show us a different cost of living, where the pain of this world will be eased not by the money we spend on ourselves, but by the way we spend ourselves for others, and in the way we value each and every person living on this planet. Amen. The next hymn is Together in Song 657, God of Freedom, God of Justice. Please be seated. The prayers of the people have a response. When I say human one, which is my preferred translation of son of man, your response is, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. Let us pray. Let us pray for the world, saying, human one, generous God, your blessings are as plentiful as the stars above and as numerous as the grains of sand along the seashore. It is your pleasure to give us the kingdom. We come before you with grateful hearts as we pray for the church and the world, saying, Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. We pray for wisdom and guidance for all people and leaders of this world, that they may foster peace and justice and serve the common good. Help us to remember that, in the words of Pope Leo, no conflict is far from us when human dignity is at stake. Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. Help us to protect the goodness of your creation, that all may enjoy the precious blessings of this world as foretaste of the next. Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. We pray for your church, that by your grace and our faith, we may serve you with constancy and love. Today we hold in our thoughts and our prayers Jane Yun on the day of her ordination. Bless her in her ministry, and may her ministry be a blessing to the people of God. Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. We pray for this country, Australia, for the first peoples who have lived here for tens of thousands of years, the oldest continuous culture on the planet, and for the second peoples who have come from all around the world and found here a home. May we live together in harmony and learn from each other. Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. We pray for those who are sick or suffering any need, that they will know your healing strength and find comfort through our faithful care. In our hearts, we name those whose needs we know. Human One, may the lamps of our faith stay alight. Holy God, steadfast and true, on you our hope is founded. Receive the prayers of your faithful people, for our hearts are gladdened by our trust in you. And we make these prayers in the name of the Human One and in the words he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Your offering for the work of this congregation and the wider church will now be received. Let us pray. For the love of our lives as givers and receivers, for things to look forward to today and in days to come, for money and gifts around us to share and enjoy, we give you thanks, our God. May we in our blessings be a blessing to those in need, offering love, hope, and thanksgiving in all we do. Bless us here, gift and giver. Amen. And our final hymn is Together in Song 560, All My Hope on God is Founded. Be dressed for action and ready to serve, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Be not afraid, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, an unfailing treasure and eternal blessing. Amen.